Two Broke Chicks is recorded on Gadigal land of the Eora Nation. We acknowledge Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples as the traditional custodians of our land. Always was, always will be. Hey Chicks, I'm Al.
And I'm Sal.
And this is Two Broke Chicks, the show that shares life lessons because we're broken funds but rich in life. And welcome to another show.
Another show!
It's been a morning.
It has been.
It's been a morning.
I think we come on the show and say this every time.
Oh, it's probably because I'm a fucking mess every morning. Whenever I have to be somewhere before like 10 a.m., I'm like, the world is ending.
Yeah, life is hard.
Yeah, life is so... Anyway, today we are talking about life lessons from the chicks, career and working in your 20s. Mm-hmm. We haven't done the life lessons from the chicks in a while. If you're new to this kind of segment or episode type, mm-hmm. I guess.
Genre.
Yeah, let's go with that. Category. And the category is we hate to work. Just kidding. We put up a question box on Instagram and you chicks actually submit your life lessons and then Sal and I discuss them, agree with them,
debate,
disagree with them. But honestly, all of these life lessons are so good. I'm really excited to talk about them.
You are a wise bunch of chicks. We'll just say that before we get into it.
Because, I don't know, we don't get taught how to go to work. We get taught Pythagoras' theorem. The process of meiosis.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever do biology?
Yes.
Do you remember that song on YouTube? It's like the process of meiosis.
But it rings a bell because I feel like you've sang it on like a night out before. But I don't
what
think
is
we
wrong
learned
with
it
me?
At school.
Okay, but before we get into the episode, we do have some product recs of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And I am back with another Kmart Skims dupe, this time in the pajamas.
Yes.
So Kmart has brought out like this really soft kind of jersey set of grey pajamas, and it's very similar to the grey pajamas from Skims.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the Skims are slightly like a little bit thicker, slightly better quality, but like they're both very soft, very comfy.
Mm.
And I don't know, pajamas is one of those things that I don't think you need to be spending upwards of $100 on.
It's a lot of money to spend on pajamas.
I don't know. I saw someone the other day saying that you should wash your pajamas after every wear.
Really?
How often do you wash your pajamas?
I wear them probably 3 times before I wash them.
That's what I do,
I guess,
reckon.
It depends.
Or like they go in the dirty clothes basket.
Yeah, it depends. If you're a really sweaty sleeper, then sure,
yeah.
I guess. But like, I feel like three wears is enough, and then I'm ready to like freshen up.
Yeah, because I feel like I get makeup on them or fake tan or whatever.
Or if I've been drinking, then I wash them immediately.
Oh, because you like wash away the memory.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I get that.
I'm like, I couldn't possibly sleep.
I couldn't
in
possibly.
Pajamas that I was once drunk in. Like, I can't do
you're
that.
Like, who was she?
Yeah.
Who's that? Anyway, Kmart. Hit them up. I'll put a link in the show notes and I think we'll post them on Instagram too. But yeah, I thought they were really good. They got a little white trim on them.
Cute.
And they're comfy as.
Love. We love a chic set of PJs.
Yeah, they're really the pajamas that you have like your hair mask in. You're really like clean, like glazed donut skincare on.
The whole fantasy.
And like a cup of ice with Coke and like your takeaway food while you watch your favorite movie.
Yum. God, I wish I had a cold glass of Coke right now. But it's also like 9:30. I have a problem.
Have you
anyway,
had a coffee?
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sal got me a coffee this morning. It was really nice of her.
I know, good Samaritan. My product rec of the week is actually a brand, another small business, and it's called Love Found. And I saw them through, I think, like a targeted ad on Instagram, which doesn't always end up well, but this time was great. And it's one of those brands that has like – it's like a one-stop shop for gifts,
ooh,
I would say.
Oh, I love a gift shop.
Yeah, and it's very like Pinterest-worthy, TikTok viral, like it girl gifts.
Ooh.
So that's where I got
like – do
you have
some examples?
Yeah, that's where I got your chili lighter, your cowboy boot shot glasses.
Oh.
They have like all of those really cute like glass mugs with like the funky handles, like all
What's
that
like
kind of
stuff. What's
the
pricing like?
Like – $20 to $60, depending on what the items are.
I feel
are.
Like when the pricing is too cheap, that's when I'm like,
yeah, no.
Scammy vibes.
It's definitely not cheap, which is why I feel like it's good for gifts.
Yeah.
Because I feel like with gifts, you're more likely to like splurge a little bit more on something nice.
And but also don't want to spend too much.
Yeah. I feel like it fit in that good middle ground for like a stocking stuffer almost, or like a little cherry on top of a little like gift pack.
Yeah, I love that.
It was very that. But yeah, we love to support a small business. So definitely check them out.
So good. All right. Well, let's get into the episode.
Woo!
Kicking off the first life lessons from the chicks working in your 20s. Never be friends with your manager. Absolutely agree. I have had probably the I've had probably three managers in like my full-time work, and two of them were like the most toxic managers of my life, and they both started out as like friends.
Yeah.
Like as like the friendly manager being like, no, I'm your friend who like sometimes tells you what to do.
Mm.
Like I'm not a normal manager, I'm a cool manager kind of vibe. And it just always bites you in the ass. Whereas like the one manager that I absolutely love to death, who is still my friend to this day, started as a manager, kept that boundary there, and then we became friends outside of that working relationship.
Yeah. I feel like especially if it's a bit of a micromanager or a bit of a problematic or toxic manager, if you guys are friends and you're sort of like telling them things that are personal, or maybe you're going out for drinks or, you know, whatever, they might see you in some sort of compromising position, whatever that is, it's really easy for them to manipulate you.
Yeah, and start using like the friendship against you.
Yeah, exactly.
And like guilt tripping you into doing things or being passive aggressive.
Yeah.
And then you're there being like, but I thought we were friends. Like what? And because that's the thing as well, when you're friends with a manager and then they start managing you, you're like, but wait, what? Like I thought we were friends. It's like, no, you weren't friends. They're your manager.
Yeah, it confuses the dynamic.
Yeah. And I don't think you can't be friendly with a manager, but I think when you think the first relationship is being friends and then the second relationship is them being your manager, that's when it just gets sticky.
Yeah.
I completely agree with that. Like I've had managers and then you go out and you get drunk together and then you like talk shit and then you're like,
yeah.
Oh my God, I wish I didn't do that.
Yeah. There have been so many times where I was like, fuck, I let myself get too comfortable.
Yes.
Even just like cracking jokes or whatever in the office and then I'm like, shit, like I really shouldn't have said that. And then it gets used
against you and you're like, fuck. Yeah. You're like, damn it.
Yeah, exactly. So I completely agree with that.
And I don't know, I just find that sometimes managers that go in wanting to be your best friend are just snaky.
Mm.
Like they're doing it on purpose.
Yeah, yeah. There's like some sort of underlying motive. Yeah.
I agree.
Of course, it's not always the case. I'm sure there's some people who have a great relationship with their manager.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You can have that. But it's like when someone comes in selling you being like, it's so cool. It's so fine. We're like a family here. Yeah. We're going to be best friends. Like, yeah, I'm your manager, but like don't overthink it. That is a red flag.
Yeah.
Like, yes, you can have a good relationship with your manager, but if they're coming in being like blood brothers, let's kiss, get away from me.
Yeah, red flag for sure. Yeah. Yep. And then the second half of that lesson was micromanagers won't change.
Oh, my God, 1,000%.
Yeah, they won't. We've definitely had this experience before, and even when you give feedback, I feel like maybe they'll take it on
for a week
or even a day, and then they can't help themselves. It's just in their nature. So I feel like if you've stuck under a micromanager, it's either time to move teams or move jobs.
This was sent in from Chookins, and she said, micromanagers won't change unless they leave before you do. And it's true because my micromanager ended up quitting. And then I was like, oh, I can breathe.
Literally.
Yeah, it was great. It was so good. And they would just lie.
Mm.
Like she would just lie about stuff that, it was the wildest thing when you're actually watching a full-grown adult lie.
Like a pathological
lie.
Like
blatantly
liar.
Lie.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it reminds me, I was talking to someone about this the other day, the work from home mouse tracking. How rogue is that?
It's Black Mirror. I don't like it.
Like the fact that they will like watch like a heat map of your computer.
It's so fucked
up.
It's
so weird.
Yeah. I hate that so much.
But yeah, I think really the life lesson, which both of these are just so true, really try to keep a strong boundary with a manager. I know the idea of being besties with your manager is so fun because we've been there.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, as if this is so good. But it's not true because as well, even when we were like good friends with a manager, they would be like, you know what? You went to a work event last night. Come in tomorrow at 10. Like, do you know what? Take the day really easy. But like one, the workload didn't change. So like losing that hour would actually make the situation more stressful. But then two, whenever you'd be like, I'm just feeling really overwhelmed, she'd be like, but why? You got a late start on Friday. So I'm like, but you told me to have a late start.
Yeah, they'd like hold it against you.
Be like, but I let you do this. And I'm like,
I'm really happy that we're our own boss. Anyway, next life lesson from the chicks working in your 20s, don't gossip in the workplace. That one's from Lara. Yeah. I mean, gossiping in the workplace.
If you don't think it's fun, you're lying. Really fun. It is really fun. It's not good.
No.
But you can catch me by the printing machine or when the water cooler. Tea is going down.
Yeah. So while I feel like this life lesson or piece of advice is coming from a really good and genuine place.
Oh, it's good.
It's just
advice.
Not realistic. Like you can't help it. I feel like especially when you're working in like any sort of office environment, like there's always going to be some sort of tea and a lot of the time you're fucking bored. So you're like, yeah, I will hold on to this little gem of juicy goss while I've got it to keep me entertained. Yeah. And I think there's a fine line between like healthy office gossip and unhealthy. And I think if you're like constantly talking about it and you've got nothing else, like it's probably time to move on.
Yeah.
But also never put any of your office gossip in writing on any official work chats or even in text messages. Like, because with Slack or with emails or whatever you're using to communicate via work, like, your workplace and your HR can look through that if somebody makes a complaint about like bullying or something like that.
Yeah, they can access your Slack easily. They just log in.
Yeah.
The amount of time Sal and I went back into our Slack and we're like, fuck, and deleted like pages of conversations.
Yeah.
Because we were like, shit.
Yeah. Me and like one of our old work friends, who we're still really good friends with today, she and I had like an automatic reset on our Slack that every week.
We put one on.
And then so we did as well. So it would like wipe the Slack chat every Monday morning.
Yeah.
But like the safer option is just to not talk shit on those things. Yeah. And then same with text messages as well, because if you can't trust the person completely, like they can screenshot that and show someone.
100%. So I would like change my number and be like, that's not my number.
Yeah.
I'd like double down so hard.
Yeah.
I remember like my search history was like, can workplace see deleted Slack messages?
Yeah, literally.
I was like, oh God. But like on the other note, again, what's our saying? Let's be realistic because we all fucking love gossip. Like if Jerry and Susan got down at the Christmas party,
that is
my bread and butter. That is going to fuel me for the next week because then the whole time I'm going to work, I am watching those two being like, is it awkward? Do they keep fucking?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to – what's going on?
Yeah, exactly. Or you need to keep tabs.
If it's like – the manager you can't stand and they get pulled into HR and like demoted. I'm like, yes. I'm like vindication. I'm like, I love it.
Mm.
I do try to take there's an office of two with us. Yeah, so there's not that much gossip really. I'm like, yeah, Sal picks her toes. I'm kidding.
I do not.
No, she doesn't. I'm just spreading gossip. It's gossip, guys.
Live slander propaganda.
Yeah. That I tried to towards the end of my reign of terror in full-time work, be a listener, not necessarily like, I would tell Sal. I'd be like, oh my God, guess what? Someone would be like, don't say anything. I'd be like, of course.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything to anyone. Sally, guess what I just heard?
Yeah, exactly.
But that was it. I would only ever tell Sal, and Sal would only ever tell me.
Yeah, exactly. I would pick one confidant that you know that you can completely trust and dish all the tea with them. Don't go around talking to everyone. We had like one co-worker in the past who literally could not help themselves.
She was notorious
for like everyone would be like, they'd be like, where'd you hear this? And they'd be like, from so-and-so. They'd be like, yeah, I heard it from them too. Like, and would just kind of like tell everyone they could.
Yeah.
So avoid doing that because that's a bad look. And we also always say that if you are going to like talk like office gossip or anything like that and it's in writing, make sure it's something that you can say with your chest.
Yeah, say it with your chest.
And you would be able to defend yourself if it was brought up to somebody else.
Yeah, or like if you wouldn't say it to the person's face.
Yeah.
Just don't say it. Like if you can't say it with your chest and be like, yeah, I did say that because, you know, this was a bit annoying.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, but.
That did happen.
That did happen. Did it not? Did you not fuck Jerry at the Christmas party?
Jerry, you dog.
Jerry, you dog. But, yeah. Okay. A kind of a part two of this one sent in from Anna was stay out of office politics. Now, this one I 1,000% wholeheartedly agree on because office politics are just going to make you sad.
Yeah.
Like office politics just get messy. And if you're unsure of like what this is, if you're not necessarily in like full-time work yet or haven't experienced it, it's when like, you know, teams start getting like pitted against each other or there's like a bit of a hierarchy and it's like, oh, if you want something, go to this person, don't go to this person. It's basically just like yucky manipulation of people.
And yeah.
It's just not good. There was definitely office politics on roids where we've worked.
Yeah. I feel like that's pretty common with a lot of, workplaces. And, you just realize that it's really easy to get swept up in
it. Oh, yeah.
But once you step away from it, it's so much less stressful and you realize, like, it's so unnecessary as well. Mm. Like, you just get burned when you end up in those situations.
Yeah.
Because you end up, like, aligning yourself with people that, like, aren't good people.
You know? I agree. I think, like, as well, people that their whole world, like, revolves around, like, office and office politics is not something you necessarily want to be aligned with either.
Yeah.
Like, because we've both been in situations where we got wrapped up in it and I was going home just so unhappy.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking about work, thinking about what annoyed me, thinking about, like, you know, how I was going to do something different the next day. And it just is incredibly boring.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, it's boring. Like, I just, I think these two things, like don't gossip in the workplace and stay out of office politics, it shows like how similar work is to high school.
Yeah.
Like,
it's very clicky.
It's so clicky. It's so high school if you allow it to be. Mm-hmm. Because you can go to work, you can get your shit done, you can still really care about your career without getting wrapped up in these things.
Yeah, absolutely.
With still a little sprinkle of gossip at the printing machine.
Healthy gossip.
Healthy gossip. Jerry, you sly dog.
Jerry. Dedicated to
Jerry. You know, one time, Sal and I were involved in an office scandal.
Were we?
Yeah, because we were at the Christmas party and no one told us that the photo booth at a Christmas party has digital copies.
That are sent out to the entire office.
Hold on, I was getting there. So we just thought you get the printout and we were like, yeah, gorgeous. So we then go into the photo booth with the editor-in-chief. He's like a fabulous gay man.
We love him.
He puts these two cups on his chest.
Paella bowls.
Paella bowls. And then we're pretending to lick
his paella bowl titties.
Yeah, naturally, as you would do at a professional
with your
workplace.
Manager, right?
Everyone does that. Anyway, he loved it. We loved it. We've got the photos. We're like, yeah, that was so fun. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah,
then,
for the scrapbook.
2 days after the Christmas party, there's like a Slack notification and Sal and I are walking back from the gym, you know, fitness. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey guys, here are the copies from the photo booth. And we were like,
we both just look at each other and we're like.
And it's like a link to a Google Drive.
Fuck.
And I was like, no, 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 surely they took it out. Surely they took it out. They wouldn't have put it in there. They wouldn't have put it in there. They did. They did. And then we had all these messages on Slack being like, is this you two? And I was like, I have never had sexual relations with that woman.
Honestly.
Oh, rogue. Anyway, so that's another little tip. If there's a photo booth, there's probably digital copies.
Yep, it is. Hot tip, hot tip.
Okay, next one.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think we've ever spoken about this before.
No, we haven't. Don't fuck your coworker.
Don't fuck your colleagues.
Yeah. We've discussed this at length on the podcast before. So I almost just want to leave it there.
Yeah, just don't do it.
Don't do it.
There's definitely going to be the comments of being like, I met my partner at work and we've been married with 72 children for 5 years. That's amazing.
But you're the minority.
You're the minority.
You know it.
Like, come on now. Yeah. I've never met anyone that fucked a colleague and was happy about it, including myself. Okay. Like, when my best friend did it, I was like, did you learn nothing?
Yeah, honestly, did you not see?
She read me for filth when I was doing it. I was like, you bitch. Yeah, in, love you.
People in glass houses and all that.
I know. Okay. Next life lesson from the chicks. Read your contracts submitted by me. I wanted to put this in here because Sal and I were pretty burned by not reading our contracts, that you really do want to go through with a fine tooth comb, because some things that'll be in your work contract that you might not realize is things like exclusivity on you, mm-hmm. like, and non-compete. So maybe workplaces or careers that you're not allowed to move into. Like if you work in social media, for example, there could be a clause in your contract that says you're not allowed to work in that same role at another company for 6 months.
Yeah.
So if you want to leave, you've got to do a completely different role that isn't going to conflict with that contract.
Yeah.
And you are also completely able to be like, I saw this in here. Can we please take this out?
Yeah, exactly. Contracts are negotiable.
Yeah, contracts are so negotiable. They're going to go in with like the most perfect situation they want.
Yeah.
And then be like, They're giving it a red hot crack to see if you'll take the bait.
And I feel like most people just focus on the pay.
Yeah.
They're not really looking at the other T's and C's, because that's like in the future. That's down the track.
Other
but
things
so
like
important to look.
Overtime hours will be in your contract. That'll be like you may be expected to perform overtime hours, like being like, can I get clarification on this?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is IP. That was a fun little thing that Sal and I learned about, that whatever work you work on in the workplace or on work equipment, your work owns. Mm-hmm. So Sal and I started Two Broke Chicks at our old job. And then we realized we don't own shit.
Yeah.
And so it was a whole thing that we went through with our old employer being like, wait, hold on. This is like us. We're the show. It's our stories. Can we own some of it? And it was like a call her daddy situation.
Yeah. I feel like luckily for us, we got out of that situation in like a pretty good position.
Oh, yeah. Everyone was like very happy, and our employer was actually incredibly – well, old employer was incredibly understanding and generous.
Yeah. But I feel like we've really lucked out in that situation, and that probably wouldn't happen at a lot of other workplaces.
Mm.
And I think because like side hustles and brand building and content creation is like so much part of a lot of people's jobs now, that that's something that people really should know.
Mm.
And something that we didn't realize at the time when we started it. And I also just, we didn't think that it would get as big as it has.
Yeah.
So,
I just hadn't even heard of IP law before it.
Yeah. So
IP stands for intellectual property, by the way. So it's basically owning your own ideas.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, read the contracts.
Read your contracts.
Or get your lawyer friend. Everybody has a lawyer friend.
Everyone's got one lawyer friend. What is that?
Get them to read it. Yeah. Buy them a drink. It's probably illegal to do that. I don't know. You probably have to pay them.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just ask them. They'll tell you what to do. They're the lawyer. Okay. Next life lesson from the chicks working in your 20s. Don't believe anything unless it is in writing, from Lily. Yeah, 1,000%. I feel like we've both been in this situation as well, where we've been in chats about like, you know, different roles and opportunities. And I feel like this happens a lot when you're either going into a new job or going into, you know, maybe a new role, or you're asking for a promotion or a pay rise or something. And the person in the position of power will kill you with kindness and sell you on all of these amazing things and opportunities that will come later.
Yeah.
If you do this, you'll be able to get X, Y, Z. Yeah. Trust me.
We'll start on this base salary, but then in 6 months we can increase it.
Yes. And like they will so often like dangle that carrot that's in the future to get you over the line. But unless it is in writing, they don't owe you shit.
Literally.
So some people will be true to their word. I'm not like, you know, saying that some people won't, but get it in writing.
It doesn't matter.
Just it doesn't matter. If, yeah. Even if they're true to their word, get it in writing anyway. Like you have nothing to lose by having it in writing. You have everything to lose if you don't.
Yeah. And if someone is, if you're like writing the message, whether it's a text, an email or a Slack and they're always been like, let's jump on a call and chat it through. Red flag.
Yeah.
Red flag. 1,000%.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Next one. Internships are out. Don't fall for the trap of working for free from Shireen. 1,000%. I don't actually think people realize that it's illegal not to pay interns. Mm. So unless you are just shadowing, which means you are not working, you're just watching someone work and learning for them, it is illegal not to pay an intern. If you are actually producing work and doing work, you have to be paid.
Yeah.
Which is so nice for people now. Sarah and I, looking back on our internships, I'm like, well, this is shit.
Yeah, literally think I did like 6 or 7 internships at uni and wasn't paid for any of them.
I did too. But do you know what? It made me not feel bad on like days that I was like, I don't want to fucking do this.
Mm.
And I was like, sick, sorry.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not coming.
Yeah, I was a big nerd and I was like, yeah.
I did that like twice. I'm like being like, such a badass. Being like, I'll do whatever I fucking want. You're not paying me. I did that twice.
Really? You had like influenza and you're like, I have to stay home. They're like, okay, cool.
Yeah. I'm like literally there on my deathbed.
Take back the power.
Yeah, I'm on my deathbed and I'm like, sorry, do you mind if I But yeah, if you're wanting to get an internship, know your worth, and there's probably going to be the thing that they're like, okay, well, we're just not going to give you the job, but report them to Fair Work Commission.
Yep. Okay. Next one. Keep track of your wins and record your work history. Screenshots, reports, emails, praise, and tasks beyond your job description. This is a bit of a hybrid life lesson that was submitted from a few different people, but we're going to give a shout out to Radhika and Emily. So 1,000%. So the first half of this is keeping track of your wins. Alex and I do this all the time. We've mentioned on the pod before that we have like a WhatsApp where we screenshot the really nice messages that you chicks send to us and we put it in the WhatsApp.
Yeah, I think it's called for when we need serotonin.
Yeah, yeah. And whenever we're feeling a bit down or overwhelmed or whatever, we scroll through the WhatsApp and read through all the nice messages that you guys send us. You can do that for yourself with like praise that you get. Screenshot the emails and the Slacks and put them in a folder for serotonin, but also as proof of the amazing work that you've done. So you can bring some of that stuff out when, you know, you're having your reviews and things. And also like keeping track of your wins, like if you've, you know, like worked on a project and it's had a really good result, like make sure that you're tracking all of the results as you go and you've got like the numerical value, so you're not just being like, yeah, I worked on this campaign and it was good, like, so you can be like,
good,
I worked on this campaign and increased revenue by X% or our goal was X dollars, we reached blah blah because I implemented XYZ, and really give that like quantitative data.
Do you like your own monthly report? Because the amount of times that I've been like, fuck, I should have screenshot like the follower amount when I was working in social media, or like just had that. Because even if you can't be bothered to do like a full Excel spreadsheet of how amazing you are, just having the screenshots on hand are going to really help you when it comes time for like a pay review or whatever that is. It also is going to be helpful if you're working with people that aren't necessarily the easiest people to work with.
Yeah.
So, like, if they're quite inconsistent in their communication and they're like, oh, can I have this? And you're like, but you asked for this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no, I never said that. You can pull up the receipts, which I have done before, which was amazing. And it felt really good because they were like literally sitting there in a meeting being like, I never said that. And I knew they were going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, but, well, I've got the Slack up right now. Do you want to see?
Yeah.
And I, like, turned the computer around and I was like, check fucking mate, bitch. I was like, I've got you.
Yeah.
And then everyone in the meeting was like, oh, shit. And she was fuming.
Yeah.
Then we got called in for a HR mediation.
Good times.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so – and also, like, if you get messages from your manager or whoever outside of work hours, we now know that you – aren't allowed to do that, yeah. And you can report that. So definitely keep screenshots of those sorts of things if that's becoming like a recurring issue. And also task beyond your job description, because then you can also bring those sorts of things up in your annual review, being like, well, this is my job and this is what, you know, I'm contractually obligated to do and I'm getting paid for, but I'm also doing XYZ responsibilities, which I believe, you know, means that I should get a promotion or a pay rise. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think there will be, like, moments where there are things that sit outside your job description.
Yeah.
And, like, taking them with chutzpah is only going to, like, help your case.
Totally.
In situations. Like, if someone's asking you to do something that's, like, going and picking up the packaging for, like, orders or whatever or, I don't know, some other example.
Yeah.
Like, that's only ever going to, like, help you in the long run. But if it gets out of hand, that's when it's, like, hey, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, and it's not always a bad thing either. It might just be a case of, like, when you look back on the year, sometimes it's hard to remember all of the things that you've done and all of the responsibilities. If you keep a record of all of these things, then you can just refer back to it in your annual review. It's not always something that you have to be like, well, I've done these things. Like, it could be a really positive thing as well.
Okay. Next life lesson from the chicks working in your 20s from Gab. This one is spicy.
It is.
Don't trust HR. I don't know how I feel about this one.
Me too.
I feel two ways about it, because in one instance, HR works for the company. HR is there to protect the company.
Yeah.
And HR is there to make sure things benefit the company and where you're working. However, I don't think people get into working in HR with the goal to fuck people over. They get into it because they want to help people.
Yeah.
I think it's like – knowing that there's two sides that HR have to make happy. Mm-hmm. So it's like they may not necessarily be 100% in your corner all the time.
Yeah.
I do think I've had instances where I've had the most amazing HR, and then I've had ones that I was like, okay, you're here to just like fix a problem.
Sweep things under the rug.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, I think it really does depend on the person, but I think a good sort of blanket rule for all of these things and all the relationships at work, keep it professional.
Yeah.
So you don't have to trust them completely with your whole life, but if something's going wrong at work or you're dealing with some sort of issue, go to your HR. It's what they're there for.
Yeah.
And I think even if, you know, it's a bit of a scary or vulnerable situation, just lay all your cards out and tell them everything that you think that they need to know. Don't ever be scared to go to HR. But, yeah, maybe try and rein it in and keep the feedback professional. You know what I mean?
It's so hard too.
It is. It's hard when you're in the heat
of
the moment.
Do you know what? Oversharing at work is another thing that it's like, don't do it. It's very hard not to.
It is, because these people end up feeling like your friends or fully. You're in a high pressure situation and it just like comes out like word vomit and you always regret it.
You need to like voice memo yourself.
Yeah, let
like
it out.
Being like, blah, 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 like when
put it
getting
in the burn book.
Yeah, literally.
Okay. Next life lesson. Own your mistakes and go to your boss with a solution or idea to fix the issue. From Jody. I love this.
Yes, 1,000%.
Like, you're always going to make a mistake or fuck up at work. It's just a reality of life and, you know, your career. But I think that a lot of people get defensive because they're embarrassed, so they won't own up to the mistake, or they'll try and maybe push the blame on someone else. Whereas the more proactive and impressive thing to do is to go to your manager and be like, hey, this happened. This is why it happened. But this is what I'm going to do, either to fix the issue or make sure it never happens again, or what do you think we should do to improve the situation?
I also think that it's not always going to be a mistake or something that was your fault.
Yeah.
Like, there are just going to be hiccups in work. Like, nothing goes perfectly in life. Put that shit on a shirt. And there are going to be moments where you're like, okay, this hasn't gone to the timeline we forecasted, for example. here are three options.
Mm.
Going with that to, like, your manager or an employer is going to literally further your career so much.
Yeah.
That, yeah, it's not always – and, like, don't let that be your fault either, being like, this wasn't actually within my control. Don't say that because that's a bit defensive. But being like, this has happened – here's what I think we can do to fix it.
Yeah, it shows that you're proactive and a problem solver, and most of the time your manager is going to completely understand because they've been in that position as well, and they're going to be really happy that you came to them with solutions and will be happy to brainstorm with you on them.
And then kind of on the same note, this one's from Meg. You learn the biggest lessons when you make the biggest mistakes. 1,000%. Sal and I always say that, like, one mistake isn't a mistake, it's a lesson. Two mistakes is a mistake. So, like, learn from the things that go wrong and be like, okay, I know not to do that again. But then if it keeps happening, then you're like, okay, then I fucked up.
Yeah.
And I think as well on that, just being like, just owning it and being like, this is what I've learned.
Yeah.
Like, if you do make a mistake, sometimes there's not a solution. Sometimes there's not, like, here's what I think can happen. Just being like, this happened, I'm sorry, I'll make sure it doesn't happen again, goes such a long way, because I think most of the time people just get annoyed because no accountability is taken.
Exactly, yeah. An apology and some accountability makes the biggest difference in the workplace.
All right. Well, can't wait for us all to get our dream jobs.
Good job, cheeks. You're all hired.
Boss bitch it. Okay, shall we get into our advice with the chicks?
Yes.
Okay, so I saw this sent in and I didn't let Sal look at it because I wanted to get her reaction.
I know, I'm scared.
So fucking funny.
Okay.
I don't know what the advice is though.
Oh, okay.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
Hey, chicks, I have a question, and I know how mean it sounds, but I will try to word it as nicely as I can. How do I avoid feeling – said that weird. How do I avoid feeling insulted and offended whenever super unattractive men approach me? I'm not exactly a model myself, but I do take good care of myself and put a lot of effort into my appearance. So it feels insulting when men who are, I'm not going to say that word, much shorter, much older, don't put any effort into themselves or some combination of all of the above, think I would say yes to them. I'll cut the interaction off and let them down gently as soon as I realize what is going on. Or just straight up ignore them if it's obvious they're going to chat me up. But it still really hurts my feelings and makes me feel bad about myself for days, especially because I don't think I'm that unattractive. Sometimes I do get approached by men that I do find attractive, but they only want to have sex, which is also just as, if not more, hurtful. It's not like I'm actively looking for anyone. I haven't been on the dating apps for over a year, nor do I go to the club or anywhere where it is appropriate to ask someone out. But it still sucks that I can't escape being made to feel like I'm either super gross or only good for sex when I would rather just stay in my own lane unless I meet someone who is attractive and actually wants to take me on a proper date. Thank you, and sorry for how mean this sounds, but please help. Love you.
Oh, my fucking God. What? This is, like, the most loaded advice with the chicks ever.
I don't even know
what to say.
I don't know what to say.
Part of me understands where you're coming from.
I get it, but holy shit.
I understand,
shit.
But oh, that is my
so
God.
Wrong.
That is so gnarly, I just have to say.
That is so rogue.
But we've had this conversation with people, though, especially not necessarily so much in real-life conversations, but friends who on dating apps get interest from people who they deem less attractive than them. And they're like, seriously, you're reaching out to me? Okay.
Can we talk about, like, ugly hot and hot ugly though? Because, like, let's be honest, some of the hottest people in the world are ugly.
Are assholes.
No, like, they're ugly. They look ugly. Well, I can't say that. But, like, ugly hot, but they're, like, kind of ugly that they're hot. Kind of like a pug. Not, pugs aren't hot.
I know what you're talking about. Like, they're not conventionally attractive.
They're not conventionally attractive, but they're sexy and they're funny and they're smart.
They've got charisma.
That, like, maybe we're underestimating the pool here.
Yeah. Exactly. I would say, like, far out. I would say try not to limit yourself by having, like, a particular type or standard of attractiveness that is, like, vetting these people. If you're going out and you're just not interested, you don't want to interact with anyone, I think that's fine. You can shut people down nicely and, you know, tell them to jog off.
I don't think ignore anyone.
Don't ignore anyone.
Yeah. People are just... shooting their shot.
Unless they're being really creepy or inappropriate.
Oh, yeah. Step on their toe and kick him in the shin.
Yeah, but, oh, my God. I had something else that I wanted to say. Oh, okay. But I think, so that's always going to happen. You're always going to have people who, like, are trying to hit on you and you're like, there's no chance in hell for whatever reason. That's always going to happen. But I feel like the level that this is impacting you and your self-esteem, you should probably do a lot of, like, inward looking and work on yourself to figure out why you hold so much value on how you're perceived by other people and your attractiveness. Because I have no doubt that you are the hottest fucking thing, but you are so much more than that. Like, maybe people are coming up to you in the club or wherever because you, like, exude confidence and charisma.
And you look warm and nice. Inviting.
Yeah. And that's why these people feel comfortable to come up to you, because you're not sitting there with, like, a, you know, resting bitch face.
You know what I'm just thinking, though? I'm just thinking about how many guys have I hit on and they've been like, ooh.
Oh, please.
And they've been like, Bathsheba.
Yeah, right. That would never happen to you.
Oh,
but, yeah, I think that that's what you need to work on, like, separating your, like, success in the dating pool and in life based on how you're perceived and how attractive you are. And...
yeah, respect people for just shooting their shot.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine. Shut them down if you're not interested and just be like, sorry, no.
Exactly.
I don't think, like, I think we need to let go of this whole being like, yeah, they're a seven, they're a four, like, they're punching.
Yeah.
Because as well, some of the people that are, like, not conventionally attractive have ended up being, like, the most attractive person to me in the world.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God.
Because they have an amazing personality and they're funny and they have charisma.
And we don't mean, like, amazing personalities. Like, maybe they're really nice.
No,
we
mean like, actually,
they're really fucking fun.
They're
real. And they're, like, so funny.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, the Pete Davidson of the world.
He is fun all over, head to toe.
Do you know what he kind of looks like to me before he became attractive? You know the guy in Monsters, Inc. that gets his face sucked off?
I see that.
Yeah. But, like, in a hot way.
Yeah. We love guys who look like they're dying. So maybe that's why we're not the right people to answer.
Don't put we on that.
Me. I do.
Thank you.
That's my type. Yeah.
I don't really – I think don't overthink it.
Yeah.
It's not that deep. You're beautiful. Don't stress. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'll find the right person and they'll find the right person too. So let them down gently and just you do you.
So rogue.
That was crazy. That I
was
love
wild.
It.
Thank you so much
for
sending that in. When I read that, I was like, loved it. All right. Well, that is a wrap for this episode, Chicks. Thank you so much for having us in your ear holes. We absolutely love to be here.
Mm-hmm. And if you know someone that needs some career advice or maybe some love advice.
Maybe, like, everyone's dog ugly.
Yeah, exactly. Flick them a link to this episode or chuck it in the group chat. And as always, thanks to MIK Made for making today's episode happen. We love you.
Bye.
See you next time. We'll